Amen. So good morning. We're excited about the things that's going on this fall. And so if you guys are pay attention to the bulletin, and if you're on Facebook, go ahead and like our Facebook page. We'll make some announcements there. If you don't get the email from Pauline Baptist Church, please see me or Lynn or Derry and give us your email, and we would love to connect you so that you can keep up to date on what's going on in the Pauline family. Sometimes folks are in the hospital and need prayer requests, and so some of the ladies and folks in the know will shoot out a prayer request notice, and those are good. We need to stay in touch with what's happening with our church family, right? Amen. So, if you have a Bible, we're going to be in John for the next 4 or 5 months. John chapter 4. And if you are visiting with us, what we've been doing is going through the book of John. Verse by verse, sort of, you know. But we're going to go all the way through the book of John. And the idea is hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to, you know, is going to teach us. And we're going to learn more and more about Jesus, and we're going to get closer to Jesus than we've ever been. And when we're finished, hopefully we'll have a better relationship and get to know the Lord. And that's the idea and the plan. So thank you, Jesus, for that. So we're in John chapter 4, and we're going to be 1 through 42. 1 through 42. So hang with me. It's going to take me to read these scriptures 4 minutes and 51 seconds. So I was playing, Lord, I cut this in half, you know, and do, you know, message A and message B. But it's like, nope, you got to get it all in here. And I said, okay. So I've learned to listen to the Lord when he talks to me about little things like that. And so hang with me as we read the scriptures, but let's pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord, as always, for the opportunity to come here. Lord, thank you for this crowd. Thank you for our visitors and folks that's coming in to see about our church family. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give them a direction and guidance, and that we trust that they will find a church home or maybe come and join us. If not, it'll be someone else. That's okay too, Lord. We just want what's best for them, and we want your will to be in their life. You know, they follow directions. Lord, we pray for this message this morning. Help me teach it and preach it, and teach us your ways, Father. And I know I pray this a lot, but I sincerely mean this. Teach us how to be the men and women that you want us to be. Teach us to be the husbands and wives and the parents and grandparents that you want us to be. And Lord, I know the only way to really do that is through your word. So help me as we go through this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, all right, John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, Derry has it up on the bulletin. So here we go. Verse 1. It says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, I guess they've learned a lesson about all that talking about Jesus. But no one said, you know, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. Verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And verse 42, the last one, it says, "And they said to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Amen. Everybody say amen. I have to drink a little bit of the physical water here. Hang on. All right, so you know in last week in chapter 3, we talked about Nicodemus, and Nicodemus being the best of the moral people. Remember we talked about that in chapter 3? He was really upright, very moral type person. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the polar opposite of that. We're going to talk about the immoral woman that was living in Samaria. And we could call her the bad girl of Samaria. And we all know why. We just read because she had five husbands, and then she was living and shacking up with somebody else, you know, and she's worked through that. But if you have your sermon notes, if you have your bulletin, if you don't have a bulletin and you want one, let me know. We'll be students of the Word, right? This morning, so take good notes. If you have a sermon notes, it's in your bulletin if you're visiting. This encounter that Jesus has reveals to us four things that Jesus does when we've been bad. Okay? I've been bad. I do bad things every once in a while. And so do you. Can I get amen? We're not perfect, and you know, we won't be perfect until Christ comes and that sort of thing. But there's four things that Jesus does that I want to focus on in these scriptures this morning. Okay? And that's four things. And here's the four things. Number one is what Jesus does. He seeks us. He seeks us. Number two, he draws us. Number three, he confronts us. And number four, he forgives us. And all this is wrapped up in this teaching of verses 1 through 42. He seeks us, draws us, confronts us, and forgives us. So let's look at the first point. Okay, we're going to run through these points. Hang with me. Man, it's already 11:45. Y'all hang on, okay? I feel like the Lord's going to speak to us this morning about this. So this is going to cover verses 1 through 6. So Jesus has gotten the attention of the Pharisees because his disciples now were baptizing more people than John the Baptist. And at this time, Jesus kind of got the feeling that maybe it was time to get out of Dodge. You know, and Jesus knew when his time was supposed to be, so he got this feeling, well, I better get out of here and leave town. So that's what he did. He left Judea and he went back to Galilee. Now, instead of taking the normal Jewish route around Samaria, okay, he went what? Straight through Samaria. Now, back in the day, you know, they would take the bypass, you know, around. They'll take the bypass around, and there was a reason for that, because the Jews hated the Samaritans. And the reason because they considered them half-breed Jews whose ancestors they intermarried with the Gentiles during the Syrian captivity. So they looked really down on them. And so Jesus didn't go the traditional way around town. He went straight through. Now, the Jews considered these Samaritans unclean traitors of their nation and of their God. And they wouldn't even walk on their land. I mean, these cats had a very serious resentment. This goes real deep. Okay, to the point where they literally just hated these folks. Now, that didn't really matter at all to Jesus, right? That didn't matter at all to Jesus. He had to go through. Some scriptures say that he needed to go through. He had to go through Samaria because there's a woman there that he must meet. It was part of her destiny. Jesus wants to meet her. Because this is the reason that Jesus came to earth. Right here. Luke 19:10, real short verse. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Period. That's why he came. Now, it was the Bible tells us it was about noon when Jesus arrived in Sychar and in this town of Samaria. And it was a very hot day. Jesus was tired. He'd been walking for 2 days. Okay? 2 days. Jesus was exhausted. Remember we talked about earlier that he is fully man and fully God. So walk, anybody walk 2 days before? I have, unfortunately, but it's very tiring. And he wasn't walking in his Reeboks, or his Nike, right? Or his new, what are these things you bought me? Skechers. These Skechers have changed my life now. I'm not kidding. They're so comfortable. I don't get any commissions from Skechers now, okay? But they have changed my life. I'm not kidding you. They're so comfortable. Anyway, oh, help me, Lord. Jesus got tired. He got exhausted, just like any one of us would after 2 days. So about this time, Jesus is resting, leaning up against, you know, the well, and all the disciples decided they're gonna cut out and go to town and get some food. So while they're gone, the Samaritan woman comes walking up, probably with a jar or a bucket or some kind of pot on her head, coming to the well. Now, because it was a really hot Palestinian day, very hot, most women would come to the well either at dusk or at dawn. During the cooler parts of the day that they would come. Now, but this lady, she came at the hottest time of the day, at noon. Why? Most people think that the reason is she didn't want to put up with all the heckling and mocking from all the other women, because she was, you know, had five husbands, was living for another guy. You know, they looked down on her, so she didn't want to hear all that. So she suffered and went at the hottest part of the day. Now, this lady was not welcome in any of the synagogues. And she probably wouldn't be welcome in some of the fancy hooty-dooty churches we have in America. Hooty-dooty. I think I learned that one. Bible college, I don't know. Y'all get the point, right? That lady would not be welcome in some churches in America, unfortunately. But listen to this. She was welcome in the presence of the sinless Son of God. That says a lot, guys. Not only that, Jesus was waiting on her. Jesus had planned this out the whole time. He was waiting on her to give her living water. He was waiting on her to share the good news with her. See, that woman, she thought she was coming to Jacob's well to get physical water. And the fact is, she had an appointment with the Son of God. She had an appointment with the Son of God. It's the same way today. It's the same way right now. No one is listening to this message by accident. You are not here today by accident. Whether you're here now or you're listening on our internet site, website, you're listening because God directed your steps. You have an appointment with Jesus. Y'all believe that? Amen. You have an appointment with Jesus. He has something to say to you today. And he's waiting on you to get here this morning. You see, when you've been bad, when you've done wrong, when you've messed up, which we all do, Jesus is seeking you. He's seeking you. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. He is seeking you. And then number two, point two is, he's drawing you. He draws you. The Bible says that since Jesus doesn't have a bucket or a jar, he says to the bad girl, give me a drink. Give me a drink. What does she do? She gets defensive and responds, how is that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? See, we don't remember, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Remember that one? And we talked about this on Wednesday night. And our Wednesday night's going great, man. If y'all want to get involved on Wednesday night, if you can, everything, things are going great with the Louis Giglio. I think we got one more, and then we're going to start something else really awesome and cool. But Wednesday night, we were talking about how Jesus, I think it was Glenn that brought it up, how Jesus kind of breaks the norms. Well, here, Jesus is breaking all Jewish social rules of his day. Jesus got outside the box. He didn't do like all the other religious leaders. And I loved that, to be honest with you. Jesus was setting the example. You see, back then, a Jewish man would not even speak to a Samaritan man. So for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman was unthinkable. Now that's wrong, isn't it? That's religion. That's not all that religious mess that gets people all confused and mixed up. See, what does the Scripture say about that? The Scripture says, and this is our memory verse today, which I gave y'all a really short memory verse this week, okay? So we can do it. You can do it. Right? I shouldn't say that, but anyway. Romans 2:11. Romans 2:11. Here's the memory verse. For God shows no partiality. That's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? God does not show partiality. Now, let's keep rolling. Jesus says to this astonished bad girl, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, Jesus is the gift, the salvation, the word, he's the gift that he freely gives. If you knew the gift of God, who's that saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. See, the woman's telling Jesus that the well's deep. You don't have a container. She doesn't understand. Okay, so Jesus says in verse 13, people who drink the water from this well will soon be thirsty again. But then he goes on, one of the most powerful verses in my opinion. This is like my top 10. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty. You see, the water that I will give him will become in him a springs of water, a well of water springing up to eternal life. Why do we continually drink water? Because we get thirsty. You see, the water from Jacob's well would only temporarily quench the woman's thirst. All right, I know I'm doing a lot of teaching and talking, but hang with me on this one. Everybody listen to this real closely. Not only does the water Jesus offer quench our thirst, so we will never thirst again, but it will also be a permanent spring inside of us that gives us eternal life. Now, let me spend just a minute here. This can potentially be the land of the lost. Anybody grew up in the 70s? Don't go there. Slea Stacks used to freak me out. Anybody remember? I remember Slea Stacks. Raise your hand. I mean, they make a... They're going to be running like crazy, and the Slea Stacks would be going... But they're right behind them. I could never figure that out. Sorry, it was. You know, what can I say? That was my best joke today. People end up in this land of the lost, right here. What I mean by that is people that try to be religious, they try to go to church, they try to be like Nicodemus from last week, last chapter. They try to do everything right, and they try to be good, and they get lost. They get lost in this religion. And what happens is exactly what's going on right now in our country with, I know of two of these major leaders. One was a big preacher, I won't call their names, and one was a pretty famous praise and worship music minister from Australia that are supposedly leaving the faith. Say they don't believe in Christ and Jesus and, as I say, all that stuff anymore. See, I don't know. I can't judge their heart. I don't. That's, God does that. I can't determine whether a person's born again or not. But I can sure look at the fruit of it, right, and be a fruit inspector, because Jesus tells us to do that. That we need to judge the fruit that people bear. But for a person to lead worship or pastor church with thousands of people, just to one day say, "I'm done. I'm leaving my wife. I'm homosexual, and I don't believe in the Bible and Christ anymore." You know what that tells me? That they've been living in the land of the lost. Because their thirst was not quenched. Amen? Because they're still seeking something. I don't know. That's what Jesus was saying right here, right? Because see, like for me, I can only speak for me, but for me right now, once I found Christ and He changed my life and the Holy Spirit came in, baptized me, and this living water is stirring up in me. It's quenched my thirst. I have no more interest in Buddha. Not that I ever had, but you get the point, right? I'm not interested in Muhammad. I'm not interested in Hindu stuff. I'm not interested in, Mormonism. I'm not interested in, finding peace within myself, rubbing rocks together and singing Kumbaya. I have no thirst for that anymore because Christ, the living water that's squirting up out of me, has satisfied my thirst. And I thirst no more. Amen? See, this woman doesn't really understand this, doesn't really know what Jesus is talking about. And His answer is really going to shock her. So like this woman, if you've been bad, if we've been bad, Jesus seeks you, He draws you, and the third thing is He confronts you. He confronts you. Put your big boy pants on, big girl pants on right now, okay? Everybody ready? This woman doesn't understand what Jesus means by living water, but she wants a changed life. She doesn't quite understand it all. It doesn't all kind of make sense right now to her. But she wants a changed life. She's tired of living like this. She doesn't want to live like this anymore. She wants a changed life. However, though she does not yet know it, she must first confront her sin. Everybody listening? She must first confront her sin. Kind of like Nicodemus, remember we talked about him? Oh, it's hard for them to get saved. It's hard for fancy folks with, big degrees, and I love degrees and all that. Folks that are real high moral, it's hard for them to get saved because they can't see their sin. They can't see that they are desperately need a Savior. Until a person sees their sin and their need, their desperate need to repent. I see that a lot in what I do with my full-time ministry. For you guys don't know, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor. I've been doing it about 25 years. I've seen guys come in and, get clean and sober and try to this religion thing out. They try God out and it doesn't quite work out. It never works out for them until they have a true conversion experience. And they're actually born again, like we talked about last week. And the Holy Spirit begins to change their heart and change their beliefs. Jesus tells her to go get her husband. Why? He knew she didn't have a husband. He knew that. Here's the key, guys. Listen. He wants her to consider her sin and her need for repentance and forgiveness. Jesus knew about all her life. Jesus acknowledges her truthfulness, but it was only part truth. This happens sometimes with my clients. I'll give them an assignment for group therapy, and I'll say, go and write 10 things that you hurt your family. 10 things that how you hurt your family with drug and alcohol abuse. They could probably come up with 100. So the next day, we come back, group therapy, sitting there, and I'll say, all right, everybody got their list out? They're fumbling around, and I see old Fred over there. And, you got yours, Fred? Oh, I did it, but I left it in my room. Okay, no problem. Could you go get it? Yeah, I guess so, if we need it. I can bring it tomorrow. Well, go get it now. That's all right. Well, actually, I only did about half of it and that kind of thing. That's okay. Go get that. What do you think happens next? Well, truth is, I didn't do it at all. I actually learned from this, from that little counseling technique, if you want to call it that, from the scripture, from this scripture I read years ago. You know, it's pretty cool how if you follow Jesus and a lot of things you do, it works out really well, you know. So my objective as a counselor is to get this guy to recognize what? His sin. And I'm not pointing it out to him. I'm just doing something kind of like what Jesus did. And so all of a sudden, he's sitting there in, you know, in his mess. And he's like, oh, and he's got to admit to everybody, I just lied. I didn't do it. Why didn't you do it? And usually it's some kind of hurt or trauma because I feel really bad about stealing grandpa's lawnmower and selling it to get drug money. And I just don't want to feel bad. Oh, wow. I want you to feel real bad. Part of being a counselor is making them feel really bad. That sounds weird, don't it? Really? Not on purpose. But I want them to recognize the sin and the pain and suffering so they recognize and accept within themselves, I don't want to live like this no more. I don't want to do this no more. It's the best time to do that when they're right thinking. Sorry, I'm not in the counseling training class. Sorry. But I think it applies to us here in our life and how we live our life. Would you agree? So Jesus tells her about her husbands and what's going on in our life at that time. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. God knows where you're at in your life. Nothing can be hidden from God. Nothing can be hidden. Hebrews 4:13 says this. Hebrews 4:13. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So God sees. Now, look real closely right here as you watch how Jesus is interacting with this woman. Jesus doesn't accuse her or excuse her. I'm going to say that again. Jesus doesn't accuse her, and he also doesn't excuse her. He simply describes her life so she can draw her own conclusions. This is real important, guys, especially if you start witnessing to people, which we're gonna be doing this. You know, when you start sharing your story, your testimony, you start sharing, you know, about coming to our activities and Vacation Bible School and church and all this kind of stuff, this is important to understand this. I'll read that again. He simply describes her life so she can draw her own conclusions. Guys, that's what the Word of God does. That's what the Word of God does in our soul, in our heart. Jesus just wants her to take an objective look at her life. Let's get real. Let's get honest. My prayer today for you guys that are listening is that all of us, we just get honest about what's going on in our life and where we're at in life. Guys, when we do this, this is where the Holy Spirit works in our life. And he does this through the Word of God, through the Scripture. And the Word of God corrects us and encourages us and leads us and guides us and motivates us. And did I say corrects us? And confronts us. Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. See, Jesus knows she had been trying to fill this emptiness in her life with relationships with men. So my question this morning is, what have you been trying to fill the emptiness in your life with? This woman at the well was just looking for someone who would accept her and love her. She was desperately seeking that. Jesus is willing to do that. Our Heavenly Father is willing to do that. But we must forsake and confess our sins. Now, I'm trying to hurry through this, guys. I knew this would be a little long. Can y'all give me 6.5 more minutes? Everybody raise your hand. Shake it around. All right, the woman admits that Jesus is calling him a prophet. You know, she admits this, but then all of a sudden she changes the subject. Boom. When it started touching that little button, oh, I guess Tinder. Oh, immediately she changes the subject off of her sin. This is called reflecting. This happens naturally, all of us. You know, naturally, as human beings, once, especially if you've been through trauma or anything like that, or a real tough, bad past, as soon as something comes up, it kind of is tender and hurts, you'll reflect it. It's like, boom, and you'll go over here on something else. Let's talk about something else. So I don't have to deal with this thing that I know is going to get to me if I really get down in here and dig around. She tries to get Jesus to this religious debate, talking about where the worship, the mountain, this mountain, you worship this mountain. You said you got to worship this mountain, and just trying to get Jesus off base. And one of the reasons is the Samaritan was not allowed to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. They had their own temple called Mount Gerizim. Say that 3 times, Gerizim. Okay, Jesus pointed out to her that the real issue. It's not where we worship, but how we worship. Okay? Jesus talked about there's a time coming when true worshipers will worship in the Spirit and the truth. And the truth being the Word of God. When you talk about worship in the Old and New Testament, it basically means to bow down, to humble ourselves in submission and respect. Jesus is Lord. Romans 12:1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So when Jesus started talking about worship, it kind of got her motivated about the Messiah. Said, oh, I know the Messiah's coming. He's going to tell us everything. And then Jesus told her what he had never told anybody up to this point. Basically, he was the Messiah. And when he did this, disciples came back from their food, and he began to talk to them about the spiritual fields that are ripe for harvest. So I want to kind of close with this. At Pauline Baptist Church, during the rest of the year, thankful to the women's ministry and Kelly and a bunch of ladies and Glenn. Glenn's got a great plan for the men's ministry. We got a lot of really good plans for the rest of this year. And really excited about what's going on with our outreaches in the community. So let's invite people to our activities. Let's invite people to our activities so they might encounter Jesus. He said, right, Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now I'll close with this. We all know some bad guys. We all know some bad girls. And they desperately need Jesus. And we all know folks in our lives who need an encounter with the Lord that can help them in their marriage and their relationships. They need salvation. And they also need to know that Jesus can offer them grace and mercy and salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, we love you. I ask you to bless this time. Father, if there's one here today that's never accepted Christ, Lord, I pray that during this invitation, Father, they come down and I'd be glad to talk to them about giving their life to Christ. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.